Welcome to Ohomni Iotaka. I am your host, Donna Hawkes, and we are reading Hummingbird Squash. We're getting close here to the big science fair, and there, as we know, has been bullying going on. One of the students is bullying our main character, Hummingbird, and now they're bullying Ariana, who lives with Hummingbird, her friend. And so the school teachers and principals are trying to figure out just for sure who is doing this bullying. Well, they know that they caught a couple of the boys, but not Chris Sarl, who is the main instigator. So they're still trying to get to the bottom of it. In the meantime, the big science fair is coming up. So we're going to be reading about that in this week's reading. So let's begin. Mr. Barry talked to Dump Truck and Tater Tot for almost 15 minutes. Both boys were scared and clammed up almost immediately. The principal was a gentleman, never threatening. He could usually win a student's trust pretty quickly. But he wasn't successful this time. When asked if Chris had anything to do with their harassing Ariana, the boys just looked away and said, no. They had no motivation and were clueless about the connection to the insulin pump. Mr. Barry believed everything they said, except their denial that Chris was involved. An astute judge of children's character and emotions, the principal recognized he wasn't talking to bad boys, just scared ones. He gave them 2 days of detention and required each of them to write Ariana an apology. Stepping out to Miss Shields' desk, he asked her to send a message to Miss Swallow and Mr. Pence to come by his office after school. Mr. Barry glanced at the clock. It was after 3:30. Only 20 minutes, he thought, before the tribal council meeting starts. He was busy stuffing papers into his briefcase when Miss Swallow and Mr. Pence showed up at his door. Come on and follow me out to my car, he said. I've got a presentation to make. As they walked across the parking lot, Mr. Barry said, so, I've been hearing Chris Sarl's name a lot lately. First from you, Miss Swallow, about his bullying Hummingbird. Then, Mrs. Quorn tells me, she thinks he was one pretending to be her on the teacher website. In fact, she thinks he has been targeting Rain, Simon, and Boomer, and now Ariana. Miss Swallow said, that's what I think too. It makes sense. Ariana lives with Hummingbird's family. All this started with Hummingbird. Stopping at his car, Mr. Barry said, we may not have any proof that Chris is behind any of this. Despite what you saw, Mr. Pence, the boys making fun of Ariana today wouldn't admit that Chris made him do it. He looked at the two teachers. Do we have any other evidence? Well, he took a science test of Hummingbird's, Miss Swallow replied, and wrote an insult on it to make it look like she wrote it. She saw him take the test, but she didn't see him write on it. Mr. Pence's face flushed a deep red. He looked at Miss Swallow. Did she know what was written on the test? What did it say, the insult? Mr. Barry asked. Well, Miss Swallow stammered. It's not very nice. Mr. Pence held up his hand to relieve her discomfort. I'll tell him, Betty. It said, Miss Swallow says Mr. Pence is a dork and a loser. He explained to the principal that one of his students, Mindy, had returned the test to him, thinking that a student had lost it. David, it was an awful trick, Miss Swallow said indignantly. Hummingbird was so upset because you thought she wrote it. Miss Swallow smiled sweetly at Mr. Pence. And just for the record, I don't think you're a dork or a loser at all. Oh, the trick was on you too, Betty, Mr. Pence protested. I hope you weren't upset either. I'm just glad Hummingbird didn't write it. Embarrassed, Mr. Berry interrupted. Well, this is getting a bit complicated, and I have to go. Eager to end the awkward conversation, he added, glad you two got that straightened out. The principal slid behind the steering wheel of his car and started the engine. Backing out of his reserved parking space, he poked his head out of the car window and gave his teachers a hearty assurance that all would be well. We'll work this out. We've got some great kids at Thunder Rock Middle School. Tomorrow's Science Fair Awards will be proof of that. Wins and loses. Coyote lowered the binoculars and grinned so big his mouth hurt. He had taken up his position on the hill overlooking the school, eager to observe the fun. The old yellow-eyed cuss hadn't been disappointed. He'd never enjoyed so much sticky-sticky in his entire tricking career. And tomorrow would be even better. Yipping in glee, he couldn't wait to tell Thistle. He loved boasting to the rabbit about how easy it was to make humans look incredibly silly. Thistle would get huffy trying to defend the people, which is why Coyote did it. He liked to get her riled up. The next morning, Mr. Berry pulled into the school an hour after Coyote and Thistle did. The principal parked his car and walked past the bushes in front of the auditorium, unaware that two animals were hiding inside the foliage. Coyote had insisted that they arrive before dawn, not because he feared discovery, or so he said, but because he wanted a good seat. Thistle tagged along to keep an eye on Coyote. After all, the bragging he'd done the afternoon before, she had to see for herself what he was up to. Coyote watched Mr. Berry hurrying across the parking lot. The trickster nudged Thistle and giggled. Berries are good for thickening a stew. Don't you agree, Rabbit? Thistle sighed. Yeah, the stews you cook up are thick, all right. The principal rushed into the school office. He immediately detoured to the coffee machine. Miss Shield was waiting for him. She leapt up from her desk, blocking him before he could make another move. Gulping coffee, the principal stated the obvious. Good morning, Miss Shield. I'm late. The school secretary got right down to business. You've got less than 10 minutes before the assembly starts. Here's the agenda. Oh, and Mr. Berry, please remember to acknowledge the teachers from the high school. They were a bit upset last year when you forgot to thank them for judging the science fair. Thank you. I'll try to remember all of that. Miss Shield, what's on my schedule this morning after the assembly? You have a meeting with Hummingbird's parents. Oh, yes, of course, about the bullying. And this afternoon, you have a teacher observation, payroll, and a bully prevention meeting with the teachers. With that final bit of information, Miss Shield reached for Mr. Berry's briefcase, handed him his assembly folder, and herded him to the door, offering a small measure of resistance to her secretarial efficiency. Mr. Berry hesitated at the door. He turned and handed his empty coffee cup to Miss Shield. I think it's about time we bought a new Mr. Percolator. That coffee was awfully thick. The principal headed to the auditorium. He was in a good mood. The science fair had proved to be a real success in the past few years, getting coverage in the reservation newspaper and local radio. He was hoping this year for a spot on the tribe's website. He went through the side entrance to the auditorium and was greeted with the babbling din of 300 middle schoolers. All the homerooms were present. Running up the steps to the stage, he spotted the photographer from around the res. Mr. Berry stepped onto the edge of the stage and called him over. Hi, Steve. Let's get a good picture of our first place winner. I want this Native Science Fair to get some real attention. After noting the photographer's thumbs up, Mr. Berry moved to the podium. He held up his hand. The auditorium fell silent as the whole school stood up for the Pledge of Allegiance. At its conclusion, the school band played a squeaky but acceptable version of the national anthem, followed by Thunderbirds Forever, the school song. Mr. Berry always grew a bit misty when the kids sang the last refrain. We will fly higher and higher, always together, always forever. Following Miss Shields' instructions, Mr. Berry moved smoothly through the assembly program, only glancing once or twice at the agenda. He thanked, blessed, and praised all those who participated in the science fair so profusely that the students began to grow restless. Taking note of the fidgeting, Mr. Berry got to the point. Now I come to the part that we've all been waiting for, the awards for this year's science fair. Native science, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. As Mr. Berry called out their names, the honorable mentions began tromping up the aisles, accompanied by light applause. But when the principal announced little Deb's name, a shriek went up from her girlfriends. To the sound of wild clapping, little Deb bashfully crossed the stage to receive her certificate of merit. Mr. Berry joked, "Wow, I didn't know that ash and corn releasing the nutrition would be such a popular subject." "I didn't either," little Deb gasped and ran off the stage. Mr. Berry reached for the third place plaque on the table beside the podium. It was time for the winning entries. He paused for a dramatic effect and then proclaimed, "For the Inuit kayak, from hunting boat to modern sport, third place goes to Hank LaChase." After Hank had loped up to receive his award, Mr. Berry asked him if there was anything he particularly enjoyed about his project. Not one to talk very much, Hank said, "Well, I liked learning about the boat design and how you could roll it back up if you flipped over in the water. That was cool." Moving on, after the applause for Hank, Mr. Berry became even more expansive. "Our second place prize goes to another outstanding student, Mindy Two Horses, for her project, Freeze-Dried Potatoes, the Inca Way." Chris's head jerked up. "Mindy?" Totally surprised, he whispered to Pooch, one of the boys on the 8th grade basketball team. "She entered the science fair?" "Yeah, she's been working on it forever. Man, don't you ever think about anything but your own stuff?" Chris stood up and clapped loudly, hoping to get Mindy's attention, but she never looked his way. Mr. Berry was really getting into it. Smiling, he invited Mindy to tell the school about her project. "Well, people in the Andes Mountains developed potatoes from these little wild tubers about 4,000 years ago. They preserved potatoes by freezing them and then adding water to make them soft again. They call it chunyo. It would stay good for like 10 years. Thinking, "I hope Steve is getting a picture of this," Mr. Berry asked, "How did you make the chunyo, Mindy?" "I froze the potatoes in the freezer because it wasn't cold enough to freeze them outside, and then I stomped them until they were mashed to bits."
"You stomped them?"
the principal prompted.
"Yeah, with my feet, but I washed them first."
"The potatoes?"
"No, my feet. Then I laid them out to dry in the sun, and then I did it all over again. It's just like the instant potatoes at the grocery store."
Mr. Berry laughed and said, "Well, I guess I have the Incas to thank for the potatoes we eat at my house. Thank you, Mindy." The principal's attempt at humor created some charitable laughter that accompanied Mindy as she walked primly down the stage steps. Chris waved to get her attention,
but she was too busy high-fiving her friends as she took her seat. What is wrong with her, he thought. Only the first place trophy remained on the table. It was a clear glass oval with the word science etched onto its surface. On its base was a small gold plaque where the first place winner's name would later be inscribed by a local craft shop. Mr. Berry picked up the award solemnly and composed his face for his predictable, inspirational speech. Mr. Berry was a popular and admired principal, but his speeches, expected to motivate the student body and honor exemplary pupils, usually stimulated exactly the opposite. After 5 minutes of applying ourselves, building character, good citizenship and community, the future is ours, and reaching for the stars. The entire assembly was in suspended animation, on its way to an outer arm of the Milky Way. Finally, Mr. Berry brought his oration to a merciful end. Opening his assembly folder, he continued, I am pleased to announce that the winning exhibit is the invention and manufacture of rubber in Central Mexico. A small stir erupted. Some of the students and teachers knew who was responsible for that project. The uniformed students craned their necks to catch a first glimpse of the exalted one that would claim the trophy. Mr. Berry enjoyed the building excitement. Yes, he thought, this is how it should be. These kids were really pumped up for this science fair. A big smile on his face, he swept his eyes proudly across the assembly. Suddenly, he noticed that a boy sitting in an aisle seat in the third row was beginning to rise. His smile froze. Slowly, Mr. Berry's eyes drifted down to Miss Shields' agenda notes. Visually scrolling down the page, he had the most peculiar feeling that a big joke was being played. Perhaps Miss Shield had typed in, gotcha, or laugh out loud? But no smiley face or other funny preceded the words. The first place winner, Chris Sorrell. The principal looked up. Chris was standing in the aisle, waiting for him to read out his name. Did the boy know that he had won? Mr. Berry cleared his throat, making the awkward silence even more awkward. Forcing a strained grin, he choked out, "The first prize goes to Chris Sorrell." Chris characteristically swept back his hair with his hands and bounded onto the stage. The applause was uneven. The eighth grade basketball team was enthusiastic, and the sixth graders were happy to clap for anyone. But Chris's girl groupies were sitting on their hands. When you added some missing toadies, who spent a lot of time in in-house suspension, and the teachers that were now wise to him, Chris's fan club had apparently shrunk. Determined to be fair, Mr. Berry congratulated Chris and held out the trophy. Smiling brightly, the boy grasped the translucent award and pulled it forcefully from Mr. Berry's hand. Holding the prize close to his chest, Chris glanced up at Mr. Berry, his eyes betraying a terrible, terrible need for approval. The principal was surprised by the boy's vulnerability. This was the villain who had supposedly terrorized Hummingbird, maligned Miss Swallow, stolen Mrs. Corn's identity, spread lies about Rain, and instigated the attack on Ariana? Feeling sorry for him, Mr. Berry asked Chris a few polite questions about his project. Unfortunately, the first prize winner provided more information about indigenous latex than anyone really wanted to know. Thanking Chris for his most interesting description of Maya rubber products, Mr. Berry signaled for Miss Swallow to bring the big foods manager on stage. Mr. Standing carried a big replica of a $1,000 check the grocery chain had donated to the school for science supplies. Making a brief speech, the store manager endorsed the benefits of investment in community schools and reminded everyone that green peppers and cucumbers were on sale this week at the Big Food Superstore. Mr. Berry brought the assembly to a close by congratulating everyone and asking all the honorable mentions and place winners to stay behind for pictures. Standing in front of the big check, he stiffly reenacted the presentation of the first place trophy to Chris. Blinded by the flash of the photographer's camera, he didn't see the high school teachers leaving in a huff. He had forgotten Miss Shields' last instruction. Coyote and Thistle vacated their front row seats and slowly made their way around to the back of the auditorium, staying hidden behind the hedge that bordered the building. Thistle had enjoyed the assembly and had shared some chuckles with Coyote, who had to muffle his yips when Mr. Berry had announced Chris as the first place winner. But now she wasn't feeling very well. She had some discomfort in her back. As an experienced mother, she knew that her bunnies were about to be born. Coyote noticed her slow hopping. "You're getting old, Miss Rabbit," he teased. "No older than you, Coyote. I just need to get back to my nest. The little ones will be here soon, but not right away. I have a little time."
Well then," said Coyote, understanding the situation. The trickster and the cottontail retraced the path they had followed to the school. They didn't advertise themselves, traveling instead in the shadows of the abundant weeds and shrubs. Occasionally they stopped so that Thistle could rest. Before long, Coyote spotted the rabbit's brush heap. He also saw that Skyheart's shadow across their path as they climbed the low hill to the nest.
"Looks like we made it, Thistle."
"Yes, and just in time, too."
She wiggled into the security of her nest and turned around so that her head poked out of the weedy enclosure.
"I have to go. I hope all goes well," Coyote said. "Skyheart is here," he added, jerking his nose skyward. "You won't be alone." Now that she was safe in her home, Thistle wasn't quite ready for Coyote to leave so hastily.
"I am curious. How did you manage to wrangle the first place trophy for Chris?"
"I didn't. He won it fair and square," Coyote smiled wryly. "I don't meddle in everything."
"Well, you meddled enough to get Hummingbird kicked out of the competition."
Frowning, Coyote said, "Well, yes." He had forgotten about that. "But I had my reasons."
Thistle suspected that the giant plan had something to do with those reasons, but she said nothing. Instead, she protested. "Chris has done a lot of bad things lately."
"I know, but he has a good mind. His project was a good one."
Coyote sighed.
"But he only thinks of winning. And that's the twist an old trickster like me can appreciate. Winning for Chris is really losing."
Thinking big. And so it seemed to Mr. Berry, too. Later that day, after meeting with Hummingbird's mother and father, the principal called Chris's parents. Mr. Berry didn't expect that they would welcome the reason for his call, but he was taken aback by the stepfather's angry refusal to even discuss Chris's bullying. In reply to the principal's request for a meeting, Hoke Sarl bellowed that Chris was a star student and athlete, and no bunch of loser jealous kids are going to dump all over my son's winning the science fair.
Offering some tactful comments to calm the situation, the principal quickly realized he was talking into dead air. Mr. Sorrell had hung up on him. Deeply dismayed, Mr. Barry hit the off button on his phone. Frowning, he made a mental note to tell Ms. Shield to add another agenda item to tomorrow's staff meeting: how to engage parents of students who bully. The angry words, however, had a very different effect on another listener. Having eavesdropped on the phone call, Chris was positively ecstatic. This was the first time the old man had ever shown any interest in him. Whether Hoax Sorrell really cared about his stepson's achievements didn't really matter to Chris. It was the attention that the boy craved. Even Melvin and Jesse were giving him high fives. Over the next few days, Chris became convinced that life couldn't get any better. His family was backing him up against the teachers and the kids like hummingbird. And they were proud of his trophy, too. His mom, Althea, even put it on the shelf next to the plaque that recognized her mail order business as Tribal Enterprise of the Year. Not so strangely, the Sorrells family refusal to recognize Chris's bad behavior actually resulted in a break for the tormented at Thunder Rock Middle School. Chris was just feeling too good to worry about being top dog. The bullying died down considerably, even though Chris and his cronies were by no means the only troublemakers at the school. In fact, the whole school took a breather. Without distractions, Mr. Barry and the teachers were able to complete the school's anti-bullying policy, which they called being a good relative. Dump Truck and Tater Tot didn't get any new detentions, and the sixth graders were even leaving school with a few quarters in their pockets. As for the veggie crowd, Hummingbird's exile ended, and Simon's heels were not trod upon. The insulin pump incident also receded, but Ariana made one request of Boomer: no more ding-fods, please. She'd been dinged enough. The only real moaning was from Rain and Boomer when they kept making mistakes at drum practice. The health messages and Bird Science Project got a hearing, too. Miss Swallow took Bird to present her science project to Dr. Bamsey's freshman biology class at Medicine Cave Tribal College. Tom, Darlene, Aunt Chick, Ariana, and Simon had front row seats. Even Mr. Pence attended. Dr. Bamsey said her project was very important to the Tribal Food Sovereignty Program. He would make sure that her findings about land stewardship were featured in the college's newsletter. It was a nice moment for Hummingbird and her father. Okay, we're going to stop our reading there for this week. And so things are a little quiet now. The bullying has died down, but I suspect that that's not the end of it. We will find out as we continue reading Hummingbird Squash. I want to say Pidamia to all my listeners out there. Pidamia to you. Thank you for listening to Ohomani Iotaka, our reading program here at KDKO Radio. I am your host, Donna Hawkes, wishing you a week full of good health and happiness. And once again, Doksha Ake. We will meet again next week. This program is made possible with funding from the Corporation of Public Broadcasting.